Well, today I'd like to talk with you about going away to a lonely place, apart with the Lord to spend time with Him. Do you do that in your life? Have times alone, apart with the Lord, just you and He together, spending time? Well, let's see if that's actually a biblical thing that God would call us to. Does He beckon us to it? Does He draw us to such a thing in Scripture? Let's see why that might be important for us. And if you do that, or if you are doing that, or if you will do that, let's see the importance of being drawn into a place of being alone with the Lord, apart with Him. Is that actually in the Bible? Well, did Jesus actually teach this? What do you think? If we open up and look at Mark chapter 6, start there. We read, Jesus called to Him the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Over in verse 30, after that event, we read the apostles returned to Jesus and told Him all that they had done and taught. And He said to them, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and then they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves. Does that sound like something that we should be doing? Jesus invites and calls His disciples out to a lonely place. What is that word in the Greek? The word for lonely in the Greek is the word eremia, which means He called them out to a desert place, a wilderness, to an uninhabited place, away from people, a lonely place. And Jesus says, come there with Me. So is it good for us to go away at times to be alone with the Lord in the wilderness, a place alone? Jesus certainly called His disciples to it. Let's look at one other instance there where we could read such a thing in Matthew chapter 6. Here we are in verse 5 and following. Jesus says there, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Is Jesus calling us there to a lonely place as well? Just you and God, nobody else, just you and God to be alone? Well, the word there in the Greek in this case, for room, go into your room, that is the word temeion in the Greek. And that's not just any room. What is that? That's an inner room, a place of privacy where nobody else is. Notice what else Jesus says. Shut the door. What's that tell you? Nobody else should be in there with you, just you and the Lord. And Jesus says, you pray to your Father in secret, who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What's that tell you about this place? It's a secret place, a hidden place, away from everybody else, just you and the Lord. This is a private room. And so, you tell me, does God at times call us to be away with Him? Not out ministering all the time, not always out in public with other people, but He wants you and you alone, just the two of you, to be out there together? What do you say? Certainly sounds like it. We see that in Scripture. So, why do we need to do this? Why is that an important thing for us to do, to go away? Because I think sometimes when I look at the Christian life, I feel, at least, like I should always be working. Do this, do this, do this, go, 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 go. Always get it done, get it done. And a lot of us can be that way. Always ministering, always wanting to, you know, build up the kingdom in some way, make good use of our time. Is that something we should be doing all the time, though? Well, Jesus tells us that there are times when you should be working, and there are times when you should come away and cease from working, just, He says, to be with Me. Why do we need that? Well, if we look at these verses again here, it said, Jesus said, come away by yourselves to a lonely place, a deserted wilderness place with me, and rest a while. So what's number one? What would you say?
Rest.
We got to rest. Can't work forever. You got to rest, Jesus says. And let's understand the context of that. He had sent out these disciples to preach, to teach, to heal, to cast out demons. Is that easy work? You might think it's pretty easy because, hey, what's a pastor do anyway? He just talks. And I think to myself, why am I tired? All I did was talk on Sunday morning. When I leave here after feeling supernaturally filled in the morning, and I seem so full of energy, and I am full of energy with the Spirit, what's Sunday afternoon look like for a pastor? Every pastor pretty much I've talked to, they're on Sunday morning, and by Sunday afternoon, we're all out enjoying yourselves. We're like, done. Stick a fork in us. It's like, I can't talk to anybody. You think pastor can go in and talk forever? Well, by Sunday afternoon, I'm done talking. These guys also, they went out not only to preach and to teach, which is a lot of work, but they also went out to call people to repent. Is that easy? That means people are going to sometimes accept the word and other times reject it. Some people will love it. Some people will hate you for it. Is that easy? People don't like to be rejected, so these disciples had much against them. In fact, Jesus says, if they don't receive you, which was the case in a lot of cases, you have to shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against that town. So they preach, they teach, they call people to repent. Some people love it, some people hate them for it. They got to deal with that. They also have to cast out evil spirits. And that's not easy. It's not just like you're walking downtown, you out, come out, get out of here. It requires concentration. It requires faith. It requires a really intent on that person because it's a spiritual battle. You're also healing people. That means you take time with them. You're anointing them with oil. It's not just like healed, 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 healed. They're focusing on loving the people and bringing them healing. So they needed rest. They needed to be rebuilt again. And I think we Christians got to get this into our mind. You can't work forever. You can't go, 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 go. You got to come away and be replenished. You got to be refreshed. You got to be re-strengthened and receive new supernatural strength from the Lord. When Jesus says, come away by yourselves to a lonely place and rest a while, that word in the Greek is anapao, which means abide with me for a while. Remain with me for a while. Stay quiet with me for a while. Become physically refreshed after ceasing activity and work with me for a while. That's fantastic. When Jesus calls us out into the wilderness. You know, a field, if you plant a field and grow crops on it, you can't do that perpetually, can you? In the Bible, Jesus says, God says, every seventh year you got to let the land rest, otherwise it will cease to produce because you'll use up all the nutrients from the soil. You got to let it rest if it's going to bring forth a flowery, colorful crop for you. If you're a bodybuilder, anybody bodybuilders out there? You can't do that every day because your muscles will get so tired they'll cease to grow. Every bodybuilder knows you needed rest a little while. Soldiers in war also are called by their army commanders. Even in war, you got to step back from it and have a leave for a little while to get refreshed so you can go back and fight with greater vigor. And Moses in the Old Testament, he was so busy, go, 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 judging the people that eventually his father-in-law, Jethro, had to come and say, Moses, Moses, what you're doing? You can't keep up this pace. You'll wear yourself out. Here, get some other people to do some of those jobs. You just take the bigger jobs. Let them take the smaller ones. You got to rest a little or you'll wear yourself out. And so Jesus tells us the same thing. Now, if you're not working for the kingdom of God, get to work. But if you're working for the kingdom, Jesus' word is you can't do it go, 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 work, 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 work all the time. Come away with me to a lonely, solitary place. Find a place in the wilderness. Let's go together into the forest and rest there together for a while, and I'll restore your strength. Isn't that beautiful? Our God would so look upon us and graciously fulfill and re-strengthen us. So we need it for that reason. It's another reason we need to go away by ourselves with Jesus to a lonely place and rest. Well, to be sharpened in our faith, spend time in the Word and in prayer. For Jesus says there in Matthew 6, when you pray, go into your room. Remember, to your inner private room where nobody else is, and pray to your Father who is in secret behind, you know, the door is shut, just the two of you. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So one of the things we want to do when we go away to a lonely place is spend time with God, talking with him, and then listening to what he reveals back. So many times I don't listen to the Lord. I just talk to him. But when I listen for him, he puts into my mind scripture verses that are applicable to my situation, and the grace that is in those scripture verses refreshes me. You've got to have a two-way discussion there, where he is ministering to you and replenishing your strength through prayer and in the Word. For my eyes are awake before the watches of the night, Psalm 119 says, that I may meditate upon thy promise. Do you spend time, just you and the Lord, with the Word opened, with no rush, no hectic schedule, a time set aside apart from your mad dash through this world, just to be in this Word with your God? This is what God calls us to. You got to get sharp. Remember that story of the man who was desperate for work and he got hired by a lumber company? And he works for about 2 weeks and finally after 2 weeks, the foreman says, you're fired. What do you mean? I've been working harder than everybody here. But your production is coming down. Well, that's impossible, says the guy. I get up earlier. I'm here before everybody else. I leave after everybody else. I work through all my breaks, says the foreman. But have you been sharpening your axe? He hadn't been sharpening. He says, I don't have time to sharpen my axe. I just keep hacking away. But he got slower and slower in the production because he didn't sharpen it. You know, when God's calling you out, he wants you to be refreshed, rejuvenated, made young again. All these good things, so you come out new, but also you're sharper in the faith for the time in his Word and in prayer. Thirdly, you spend time alone with God to just deepen your relationship with him, with no other purpose than to just spend time with the God that you rejoice in for closeness' sake. Is that a powerful thing? Spending time with the Lord? Beth, you're back there. Glad you made it today, because she's been a little sick this week. But you know, Beth and I work together all the time, pastor and secretary. I'm also on the boat. I'm captain, and she's the boat receiver of calls. We enjoy working together. We really have a great time together. You know why we have a great time together, though? It's because we also spend time alone, apart from all this work, just enjoying each other. Yeah, we watch a little 10-minute YouTube video together, or maybe go on a date out to a restaurant occasionally, or just spend some time just close and snuggle together and just no work, no agenda. We just hang out for a few minutes and enjoy each other. That makes the working together really gorgeous. God says the same thing with you and me. We're out there as a team. We're working together out in the field of the world, but we need to also take time where you put down the plow, put down your axe, just come away, and let's just enjoy each other. Do you ever do that? Just go and enjoy the Lord, or are you too busy running this way and that? Moses went up on the mountain alone, apart, in the wilderness with the Lord. How did that affect him? We read in Exodus 34, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he'd been talking with God. And when Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face was shining. And they were afraid to come near him. Whoa, what happened to this guy? Who have you been hanging around with? I've been hanging around with God. And his glory had rubbed off on him. You're going to become like whoever you hang around with, you know that. If you hang around with God, spend some time and just close time with him, just enjoying his presence. He's going to rub off on you, his glory. And people are going to see you on Monday morning and go, whoa, what happened to you? Who you been hanging around with? I've been hanging around with the creator of the universe and my savior. And then fourth here, one of the greatest things for going away to be alone with the Lord is the greatest things in history happen when you're alone with the Lord. Think about this. Genesis chapter 12, Abraham was alone outside by himself with God. And God showed him all the stars of the sky and said, so shall your descendants be. That was when he was alone. He heard that. In Genesis 32, Jacob was out alone in the wilderness. And a man comes and wrestles with him at night, all the way till the breaking of day, just the two of them. And in the morning, he got a blessing because the man had been the Lord himself. And he says, you got a new name. It's Israel shall be your name, no longer Jacob. You got a new life and a new identity. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah, he was alone with God in the wilderness. When after the fire and after the splitting of the rocks and the earthquake and after the great wind, there came to him the Lord in a still small voice speaking to him. Daniel was alone in the wilderness when the angel Gabriel, God sent him to speak to him by the river Tigris, for the men had fled. Zechariah was alone in the temple when the angel came and spoke to him. Mary was alone when she got the birth announcement that she's going to conceive. Peter was alone in Acts chapter 10 on the top of the house, praying, and he received that great vision of God, and the skies split open, and he sees, Peter, you're to preach now to the Gentiles. Go to Cornelius' house and give him a word by which he shall be saved. And Paul was alone in the wilderness, or at night, that is, when Jesus came and said to him, Paul, don't be afraid, but speak and don't be silent, for I'm with you. No man shall attack you to harm you in this city, for I have many people here. Would you like some words like that in your life? Could you take a little refreshment? Anybody? Are you running and running and running and going too fast, and you never hear these great words of the Lord to you? I run too fast. I need to hear it. I think we all fail at spending time alone with the Lord, at least most of us. Some of you are really great at this, but we could all do this more. Why do we fail at it? Why do we not get out there and get alone with the Lord into a solitary, desert, wild place or into our inner room? Just spend time alone with him. You tell me why. Tied up with the world? What else?
Feel guilty?
Why?
Because you're not doing something that you think.
Because you're not. Okay, good one. All right. That Protestant work ethic. You'd better work all the time and use every last available inch and minute of your day to accomplish work. And if you don't, you're going to fall behind and sink. I feel that all the time myself. I do. Beth knows and can testify, right? I hardly ever can stop because I feel guilty. Well, we shouldn't if the Lord tells us to come aside. And how about another one? Gene Scoggins, where are you? You know this one. What takes up most of our time? Our phones, our lives, all this technology, all this labor-saving, time-saving technology, like we've had, you know, since the 70s, laundry machines and personal computers and microwaves. In the 1970s, they said we would have so much time saved, we wouldn't have any, we wouldn't even know what to do with ourselves. You try to get away today, the phone rings, your email goes ding, and your email sings saying, you've got mail. Life is getting faster for people, more crammed. We're too busy to spend time with the Lord. Does this actually save time for us, or is it robbing us of time? Robbing us of time with each other, intimate times just with each other, because we're just looking at these little devices in our hands. We're robbed also of time with the Lord, because we got to just spend time alone with Him. Jesus would direct us to that great passage from Luke chapter 10. He says, remember this one, my people. Once I was visiting a city in a house, my good friends, and Mary, my good friend, she sat at my feet. She listened to my teaching. Meanwhile, her sister came in from the other room and said, Lord, Lord, she said to me, tell her to help me. I have so much to do here getting this dinner ready. Tell her to get up and help. But remember how I answered her. I said, Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're worried, and troubled about many things, but there's only one thing necessary. Mary, sitting at my feet here, listening to my word, she's chosen the good portion, and I won't take it away from her. He probably also said, by the way, why don't you come in here and sit with her and listen a while? Come away with me to a lonely place and just sit in my presence. Hear my word. Let's be intimate in that way. Do you think you could do that with the Lord? Is He calling you away from the hectic parts of this life? He says, if you choose the good portion, like Mary, I won't let it be taken away from you. And by the way, when you go back to your life, I'll make you 10 times as productive as if you never came and saw me. I'll make things go faster, better, and more beautifully on account of your time that you spent with me. So don't think that you can't take time out to be with Him. How then can we do this? What do you think? What are some suggestions? This is not rocket science, all you rocket and NASA scientists out there. Just schedule the time. Put the time aside and find some place away from everybody else. If it has to be a house, shut the door. If it has to be away from your phone, turn it off. If it has to be the wilderness, which is my preferred place, go out to a park, somewhere where you're not going to find other people. Just be with Him. Be alone with the Lord. Did Jesus teach us this by His own life? Now think about this for just a minute with me. This Jesus is the Savior of the world. He has 3 years to accomplish the following. I'm going to preach to the people the word. I'm going to enlighten them and bring them out of darkness. I'm going to conquer Satan. I'm going to die on the cross. I'm going to be raised from the dead, and I'm going to reconcile everything God has ever created to Himself. And I've got 3 years to do it. Of all people, Jesus shouldn't have had time to take time apart to be with God. His appointment schedule was busy. But what do we see of our Lord? If we open up here in Mark chapter 1, Jesus there in the evening of that day before was healing people, casting out demons, very busy. But verse 35 says, early in the morning, while it was still dark, a great while before the day, Jesus rose and went out to a, there it is again, lonely place, and there He prayed. Think, did Jesus need time of retreat alone with the Father? Yes. Absolutely. All this to accomplish, and yet He's out there retreating by Himself to get recharged with the Lord. How'd that work out for you, Jesus? Well, it worked out great, except the next verse says, Simon Peter and those who were with him pursued Him, ran after Him into the wilderness to find, where are you, Jesus? And when they found him, they said to Him, everyone is searching for you. They're all coming. They want a piece of you. Do you find that when you try to retreat to be alone with the Lord, that life charges after you and says, you can't spend time alone like that. Come minister to me. Come minister to us. Nope, Jesus says, I'm going to get out there with my Father. We read over there in Mark chapter 6, once again. Mark chapter 6. Remember when He says to the disciples, come away after all this hard work to a lonely place and rest a while. So we read, many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. They couldn't even find time in their schedule for lunch. And they went away in the boat to a lonely place by themselves. Is that good? They are away. They're a lonely place by themselves to rest a while. But what do we read in verse 33? It says, Now many saw them going. Oh, they're going away. And they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. Oh, man. They're on the boat. They're on their way to rest by themselves, to a little vacation. And when they arrive on land, there's thousands of people saying, "Minister to us." Did they get away? Didn't get away. They tried. They didn't get away. What happens? What does Jesus do? Oh, too bad. This is my alone time with the Lord. What's it say? What did he do? Yeah, he let there be an interruption into his quiet time. That was perfectly okay. Life presses in to make you busy. Well, he didn't leave the crowds in their trouble and distress. We read, as he went ashore, he saw the great multitudes, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And then he fed them in the wilderness. You don't always get away, and plans don't always work out. And Jesus says, that's okay. Didn't work out for me either. I wanted to go away. Didn't work out. Here are all the people. He ministered to them. He fed them. He taught all these amazing things. But what do we read after that? Verse 45, it says, immediately. Say immediately.
Immediately.
Immediately after that, he made his disciples get into a boat. He made them get in. And to go ahead of them to the other side, to Bethsaida. In other words, now we're done. Now we're going to fulfill that date. You get out there by yourselves. And it says, and after bidding them farewell, dismissing the crowds, telling them now it's time to go away, he departed and went to the mountain to pray. So he got right back to it. So you can get interrupted. That's okay. Minister. But then get right back to it. And he goes back into the wilderness. And can you just see that scene? Where Jesus is up there on the hillside, all by himself. He's looking down on the lake, the great sea. Perhaps there's a little bit of moonlight sparkling across the water. You feel a cool breeze, and all there is this hillside with Jesus sitting up there with his Father, the wind sort of lightly wafting across his hair and across his face, a time alone with his Father. Oh, he needed it. You and I need it. We need to get up there like he did. He looks down on the sea and he says, far out across that the disciples, they're wrestling, for a hard wind was blowing against them. So he comes down from the mountain, recharged, walks across the sea to them, gets into the boats, and it's immediately at the land to which they're going. Fantastic. So it's amazing to be at work, and it's amazing to be away from work. If you look at Jesus' life, he's constantly going into the wilderness with the Father to retreat, and then coming out to preach, and then going in, and then coming out, and going in, and coming out, and going in, and coming out. It's constantly going back to the Father alone, coming back to preach, and back and forth. Might that describe your life? Or are you just going, 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 like the Energizer Bunny, like Vivian? I'm just kidding, sorry. She seems like the Energizer Bunny, doesn't she? But we can't all go all the time. Jesus got out early in the morning before the crowds and the day had started to be alone with his Father, with his dad in heaven. And in Luke 6, we read, at other times in these days, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, his disciples came, and he chose from them 12 and named them apostles. So what's he doing in the wilderness? Sometimes in the early morning, sometimes all through the nights when nobody's awake, he's alone with the Father and he's getting guidance. He's getting understanding. Maybe even the Lord saying, tomorrow you're going to see this and this is what you're going to say. I don't know what they did, but it was amazing. Sometimes in the morning, sometimes at night, as David says in Psalm 55, evening and at morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he will hear my voice. He will deliver my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. Sometimes Jesus went out into the wilderness because he was sad. Yes, Jesus even was sad. Herod sent and had John the Baptist beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. Ugh! And the disciples came and took the body and buried it, and they went and told Jesus. What did Jesus do? Jeff. Do you know? As soon as He hears of John the Baptist, his friend's death. What does he do? Probably did. But it says here in this verse, it says, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place. There's that word again. Desolate, lonely, solitary. By himself. Nobody else. Just he and his father. He had to work through the loss of his friend. And he got the comfort of his father. Do you guys need that too? Do you see how often this word desolate, solitary, lonely, a place apart, a private place is mentioned in Scripture in Jesus' life? Do you think we can go all the time? He's the Lord of the universe. Of course he could do it, but no, he retreated. We need to retreat at times. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and he led them up onto a high mountain apart. Say apart. Once again, that means by themselves, alone, just them and Jesus. And he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His garments became white as light. And he was changed alone with God up above in the mountain. And the disciples were changed and came down, changed men. What's my point? So simple. He himself would often slip away into the wilderness to pray and to be alone with God. Our lives are so busy. Don't feel you have to keep running. You don't have to run forever and go, 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 go. Jesus says, if you want to go somewhere, do this. Come away with me to a lonely place. Rest a while. Abide with me. Stay quiet with me. Let me refresh you in your life's journey. Let me speak to you kind words out of my scriptures and give you grace that you may come out a new man, a new woman, twice also as fruitful as before. And finally, Jesus, even when he went to the cross, it was a father-son alone outing. When Jesus in Luke 22, when he's being betrayed, it says, he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And verse 41 reads, and he withdrew, say withdrew, from them about a stone's throw, as far as you could throw a rock. And he knelt down and prayed. Just before he's going to the cross, he says, I need another time alone with my Father to retreat before I do this. And we read that as he prayed to God, God sent an angel to him, strengthening him, refreshing him, recharging him, so he's ready for the day of battle and war to go to the cross and to save us. Even when Jesus went up onto that mountain with God, that mountain of the cross, he said before, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, every man to his home, and will leave me all alone. Yet I am not all alone, for the Father is with me. When Jesus went to save us, friends, it was a father and son outing alone, just the two of them. We didn't contribute to our salvation. Just like Abraham and Isaac went up that mountain alone where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, the father and the son went up alone onto the mountain, onto that same mountain 2,000 or whatever years later, up ascends that mountain the Father, God, with his own son, just the two of them, just the father and the son outing. And on that mountain, they accomplished our perfect salvation by grace to take away our sins, to atone for them with Christ's own blood. And he died for our sins on that cross that you, in your fast and hectic life and fraught with, covered with the weight of sin, might know refreshment, replenishment, restoration, re-strengthening through the forgiveness of your sins. You might be once again made new through Jesus Christ, through his blood, to be given eternal life as a free gift of his grace. And you know why they did this, the Father and the Son alone? Because they wanted you to be with them, in love, in an intimate relationship. And God values your work and my work. He loves work, but not all the time. He says, come away with me. to a lonely place, my people. Come, draw near to the throne of grace with confidence that you might receive mercy and find grace to help in your times of need. Yes, Jesus says to you, God the Father says to you today, my people, come away with me to a lonely place. Abide and rest a while with me. Amen. Let's now give to God our offerings, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said it's more blessed to give than to receive.